All right, welcome to the Word on Pop Culture podcast. I am Julian Spivey, the creator, editor, and lead writer for the Word on Pop Culture. You can find us at thewordonpopculture.com, and you can find us here on the Word on Pop Culture podcast pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. I am joined today by Eric Fulton, our resident sports guy on the Word on Pop Culture. Recently, we did a Major League Baseball season preview that premiered earlier this week, and today we're going to kind of do part two of that podcast episode, where Eric and I are going to count down who we consider to be the 10 best players currently in Major League Baseball. So thank you for joining me again, Eric.
Yeah, my pleasure, Julian. Thanks for having me on.
So the Major League Baseball season is underway. It's the first weekend of the season. You been catching any games so far?
Not many games, but I have been following along with all the action. A lot of surprises so far. Pirates are 2-0. Brewers are 2-0. There's some surprises, but most of it I'm not totally surprised.
Yeah. Well, every year, MLB Network does their list of the 100 best players currently in the game. We're going to condense that down to the top 10 for our list. Eric, take it away. Who's number 10 right now in Major League Baseball?
Well, I thought about putting this guy higher, but because he's injured right now, and we're probably not going to see him for a little bit, I've got the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the American League, Gerrit Cole of the New York Yankees.
Yeah. I've got him a little bit higher. We'll get to that in a second. But is there any reasoning other than him just being injured at the moment and going to miss a month or two of action that you have him here?
I mean, there's not a whole lot of pictures right now on the top 10, or at least on my list. But, I think he's going to have a really good year once he comes back. I think he's going to definitely strengthen out the Yankees' rotation.
Oh, yeah. I think that they can't wait for him to get back. They've got a little bit of a hole there until he comes back. In his Cy Young winning season last year, he went 15-4 for the Yankees with a 2.63 ERA. And I'll just go ahead and before I get to my number 10, I'll just go ahead and say I have Gerrit Cole just one spot higher than you at number 9. So we can kind of get the Gerrit Cole portion of this podcast out of the way early. He is the only pitcher I have in my top 10 this year. And I believe he may have been the only pitcher in Major League Baseball, MLB Network's top 10. It looks like that is correct, and it looks like they also had him ranked in their number 9 position, which was almost 30 spots higher than they had him ranked the previous year. So my number 10 is a guy that might surprise some, but some people may not really, because he's only actually 12th on the MLB Network list. But number 10 is where I have Los Angeles Angels outfielder and 3-time American League MVP Mike Trout slotted in. Trout has not played more than 120 games since the 2019 season, which is kind of surprising and kind of disappointing. He was only 27 years old that season, so maybe what we're seeing is Mike Trout's kind of aged quicker than most MLB stars tend to. When he has been playing, he's been really good, though, for the most part. Just 2 years ago, he only played 119 games and still hit 40 home runs. Last year was a bit of a disappointment. He only played half the season, 82 games. He hit 18 homers with 44 RBI and hit 263, which is a good 20 points or so lower than what he has been hitting in even his worst years before that. So there's reason to worry about Mike Trout with his injuries that he seems to not be able to shake over the last few years. But I still think he should be in among the top 10 players in the league. So I slotted him in at number 10. And once again, Gerrit Cole was my number 9. So, Eric, who do you have ranked at number 9 on your list?
I did not have Mike Trout on my list. If we had an extended, he'd probably be either 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't put him because of the injuries and the fact that he hasn't played a full season, well, almost a full season since 2019. really put, you know, I felt hesitant to put him on this list. But at number nine, I have Philadelphia Phillies star Bryce Harper. He was in the outfield, but now he's playing primarily first base for the Philadelphia Phillies this year. When he plays, he's the spark plug of that team. I really think, you know, they still have championship aspirations, being that they've been in the NLCS the last couple of years. They made a World Series appearance in 2022. So I still think Bryce Harper is a top 10 player.
Yeah. MLB Network had him at number 11 on their list. I don't have him in my top 10. I'd probably slot him in at number 11 as well. Here's the thing about Bryce Harper. I would not be surprised one bit if he goes on and wins his third career Most Valuable Player award this year. That's how good Bryce Harper is. So I don't really mean any disrespect by leaving him out of the top 10. It's just he's also had a little bit of injury problems over the last few years. And Bryce Harper's the kind of player that when he slumps, he can slump a little bit bigger than some of these other guys. It's weird. He's kind of he has two MVPs, but other than that, some of his numbers haven't been to the top 10 level. So again, it would not surprise me if he won National League MVP this year, especially with the Phillies supposed to have a good team. But I just had to leave him just a little bit outside of my top 10. Number eight on my list is Houston Astros designated hitter and outfielder. He plays both positions. Yordan Alvarez. He is also number eight on the MLB Network list. And he's a guy who's hit 30 plus homers for the last 3 years. He's hit 97 or more RBIs for the last 3 years. He usually hits around 300 average sometime in the 290s. So I think this guy is the best offensive player on the team that I have projected to go all the way to the World Series again in the American League. And I think he's a guy who I haven't projected him to be an MVP player, but he really should be probably in the top three in the American League MVP hunt this year. So number eight for me is Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros. Eric, who do you have at number eight on your list?
I have Seattle Mariners center field Julio Rodriguez at number eight. I really think he could be another, you know, AL MVP dark horse candidate. He's really been the spark plug of the Mariners for the last couple of years. I think he brings excitement to the game. The fans in Seattle love him. I think he's been really good for baseball. And I really think if Seattle gets into the playoffs, he's probably going to be top three for sure for MVP.
Yeah. Julio Rodriguez, for me, is the closest thing the American League has to Ronald Acuna Jr., the reigning National League MVP for the Atlanta Braves. And I have him one spot higher than you do. I have him at number seven on my list. MLB Network had him ranked at number 10 on their list coming into the season. I said he reminds me of Ronald Acuna Jr. He's capable of hitting almost as many homers as Ronald. He doesn't steal quite as many bases, but last year I think he did steal in the 30s. He's going to have probably a decent batting average. Sometimes it can be a little sluggish, though, to start the season like it was last year. But, man, once he got hot last year, he was definitely one of the best players in the game from that point on. I'm not even sure if dark horse would be the right word for him, because a lot of people have projected that he will be the American League MVP this year. The only reason why I think he may struggle to be an MVP candidate is I'm not sure the Seattle Mariners will make the playoffs. You don't have to be in the playoffs to win MVP, of course, but it certainly helps and will kind of hinder players who don't make the postseason. But I think Julio Rodriguez, one of the most fascinating and exciting players in Major League Baseball. I've got him one spot higher at number seven. Who do you have at number seven on your list?
I have Juan Soto, the new New York Yankees outfielder. He was acquired in a trade from the Padres in the offseason. I've always really liked Juan Soto's game. I think that he's a fantastic player. He's already have a World Series win ring with the Washington Nationals back in 2019. I like the fact that he's going to probably hit in front of Aaron Judge as in the two spot. You know, Juan Soto in New York is going to be a tremendous fit for them.
Yeah, if listeners listened to our season preview earlier in the week, I had Juan Soto as my prediction to win American League MVP. It would be his first MVP of his career if he did so. And I admit it will be hard for him to do so on the same team as Aaron Judge, who puts up a lot of big offensive numbers for the Yankees. Last year in San Diego, Juan Soto had a career high with 35 home runs. He had 109 RBIs, which was one fewer than his career high. And for the third time in the last 5 or 6 years, he led Major League Baseball in walks. He's the best player in the league when it comes to drawing walks right now. So his on-base percentage is usually the highest or among the highest in baseball. I've got him a couple spots higher than you do. I've got him at number 5 on my list. Right where you have him at number 7 is right where Major League Baseball Network has him. So not really a surprise there. So I said I got him at number 5. That leaves number 6 for me. I've got Freddie Freeman, the Los Angeles Dodgers first baseman, at number 6. MLB Network actually has him as high as number 5. Which is a little bit interesting to me, because that pretty much gives the Dodgers 3 of the top 5 players on the MLB Network list, and we'll get to some of the others later. Freeman led Major League Baseball with 59 doubles last year. He would have become the first player in baseball since 1936 to get to 60 if he had just had one more. The guy is always on base. He was third in National League MVP voting last year. He hit .331. He hits a 30-plus home runs probably every year, plays stellar defense at first base. The guy is just a walking base hit pretty much for the Dodgers. And to have him batting third in the Dodgers lineup this year after Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani, there's a very good chance Freddie Freeman's going to have a career high in runs batted in this year. He was the 2020 MVP of the National League for the Atlanta Braves. Probably has too much competition on his own team to be that high in the MVP balloting again for the foreseeable future. But Freddie Freeman, I have as the 6th best player in Major League Baseball. Who do you have at this position?
Number 6, I have the reigning World Series MVP. That's Corey Seager of the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
He's already a 2-time World Series champion, having won it with the Dodgers in 2020. Corey Seager, to me, is probably, you know, I know that he may not be top 10 or even top 6, but, you know, the impact that he's won, he's like, okay, he won a championship, you know, with the Dodgers. He's now won a championship without the Dodgers. You know, Corey Seager's a winning ball player. I know that 6 may be a little bit high to put him for some, but I think the impact that he's brought to the Texas Rangers has really been a total difference.
Yeah. If we were doing the 10 best players of postseason, I would easily have Corey Seager on my list. I don't have him in my top 10, which it may seem weird because MLB Network has him at number 6, right where you have him, Eric. But I do worry about the injuries that he's had throughout his career. He only played in 119 games last year, but the statistics he did put up in those 119 games were ridiculous. He tied his career high with 33 homers, and even though he missed 40-plus games. And he actually led the American League in doubles despite missing 40-plus games. He hit .327. I think if Corey Seager had played more games, he would have given Shohei Ohtani a little bit more of a run for his money when it came for the MVP award. But again, I just worry about his injuries. I couldn't put him in my top 10. I talked about my number 5 already because it was Juan Soto, who I have projected to win the American League MVP this year. Who do you have at number 5?
Number 5 is where I put Shohei Ohtani.
Okay. That seems a little low to me. Is it because he's not going to pitch this year?
I mean, not really particularly. I think when you look at it, and I know that we're going to get into it a lot, it's like, okay, Ohtani went from Mike Trout to having guys like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman around him in the lineup. Like, that, to me, that is, it's a serious upgrade. And nothing against Mike Trout. You know, obviously Mike Trout's one is a fantastic player still when he's healthy. But when you look at the Angels compared to the Dodgers, outside of Trout, obviously, with the Angels, you know, who do you trust? But also with, you know, Ohtani going to the Dodgers, he's going to, you know, he probably isn't. It's going to be hard pitching with Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman going back to back to back. It's just going to be super hard.
Yeah, now, I wouldn't want to face those guys.
I know he's not going to be pitching this year, but he's still going to be 30 to 40 homers and 100 RBIs easily with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would have been lineup. All right, well, who do you have at number four on your list?
I got Freddie Freeman at number four.
Okay. It's a little interesting to me that you have Freeman ahead of Ohtani. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, Freddie Freeman is I've always been a Freddie Freeman fan. Like, he is, you know, he's the kind of ball player you want on your locker room because he will play hard. He will, you know, he's arguably the best first baseman in the game, and he's proved that for a long time. He has absolutely been such a tremendous player his entire career. Going from Atlanta to the Dodgers, it's not changed his game one bit. He still plays hard every time. So I'd be crazy not to, you know, not to have him in the top five. It just seems too good to, you know, not have him on there. It's just crazy.
Well, at number four, I have his Los Angeles Dodgers teammate, Mookie Betts. Betts had his best year since coming over from the Red Sox in 2020 for the Dodgers last year. He had a career-high 39 homers. He had 107 RBI, his first 100 RBI season since 2017. And he hit .307, which was his highest batting average since he led the American League with .346 in 2018 with the Red Sox. And he is off to the hottest start of anybody in the first few games of the 2024 season. He's already got 3 homers, 9 RBIs, 8 hits, 6 runs scored. He's already been walked 5 times, and he's hitting .571. I know it's just 4 games, but man, is he off to a hot start. And he was second in the National League behind Ronald Acuna Jr. in MVP voting last year. Again, with the three-headed monster that the Dodgers have at their lineup with Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman, I think it's going to be hard for any of those guys to really win MVP. But man, Mookie Betts is off to a hot start. And since I have him at number 4 and you haven't gotten to him yet, I have to assume you have him even higher on your list than I do.
I got him at 2.
Okay. You want to go ahead and talk about him while we're at it?
I mean, Mookie Betts has been, I mean, he's exciting. He's an exciting player. Having him play mostly in the outfield is going to help him a little bit because I think, you know, outfield, you know, when you're playing in the outfield, it's so, it's really hard, you know, with your speed and your ability. I mean, that's why the Phillies had moved Harper from the outfield to the infield. Yeah. I think that's going to be, huge, especially the fact that he's going to be a leadoff hitter. I mean, most leadoffs don't hit a lot of home runs. I think he's going to hit a ton of home runs. Mm-hmm. This year,
I think you see the game of baseball changing a bit when it comes to that because he hit almost 40 last year. Ronald Acuna is the leadoff hitter for the Braves. He hit over 40. Kyle Schwarber is the leadoff hitter for the Phillies. Now, he doesn't get on base near as much as Betts and Acuna does because he hits about 100 points lower than they do. But the Phillies have him at number one specifically so he could get more at-bats and potentially hit more home runs. So I think that's kind of changing for the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I feel like the leadoff hitter isn't from what used to be like what Ricky Henderson could do. Obviously, get on base, steal bases, you know, try to produce runs that way. If, like, if you have pop in your bat, well, hey, why not have an opportunity to take the early advantage right then and there?
Yeah. And the guy has to be one of the best athletes in baseball because, as you mentioned, he played outfield almost his entire career. He was going to slot in as the Dodgers' second baseman this year, but after spring training with some of the defensive woes that they had from Gavin Lux at shortstop, Dodgers are actually playing Betts at shortstop a lot now, so he may switch back and forth in the middle infield, but to go from the outfield to shortstop, that just says a lot about the athleticism of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So you have Mookie at number two, which is right where MLB Network has him. I have him a little bit lower at number four. Number three on my list is Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees, their center fielder. And the guy is basically a walking home run when he's healthy. He had some injury woes last year, only played in 106 games coming off of the year where, if it hadn't been for performance-enhancing drug users in baseball, he would have been the single-season home run leader ever with 62. So he came off a 62 homer, 131 RBI year. And even that was 2 years ago. But even though he only played in 106 games last year, he still almost hit 40 home runs, 37 homers, 75 RBIs. His average was a little bit weaker than the year before. He only hit 267. But Aaron Judge, if healthy, is capable of being the best player in Major League Baseball. Because of last year's health questions, I've knocked him down to number three on my list for this year. But, man, he could be the star again of the entire league this year, especially with Ohtani only being a one-way player this year at DH instead of not also pitching. So I've got Aaron Judge number three. Where do you have him?
I got him at number three as well.
Okay. That's kind of what I assumed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bounce-back year for him, and especially with the addition of Juan Soto, he's probably going to see, you know, either a little more pitches or he probably won't see as much as, I mean, having Judge and Soto back-to-back, you know, that's a pretty dangerous 1-2 combination. But I think Judge is going to have a really good season. You know, if he plays over 100 games, I expect him to have maybe not as much match numbers as he did 2 years ago, but probably, you know, 40-50 homer season would be pretty good for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's no reason to believe he shouldn't, because he almost hit 40 last year by missing quite a few games. So no reason to believe that he shouldn't get to that if he plays. I have Shohei Ohtani at number two, three spots higher than you have him. The MLB Network list had him at number four. So we kind of split him on that. By the way, Aaron Judge was also three on the MLB list. I think that there's good reason. Of course, he's not pitching this year, so he's not going to be as exciting. He's not going to be the unicorn that we've seen him over the last few years. But I think there's good reason to believe that Shohei Ohtani is going to have the best offensive season of his career. He led the American League last year with 44 homers, and he didn't even play the last month of the season. He's averaged 95 to 100 RBI the last three seasons. I think you could easily see with him hitting in that lineup, he's definitely going to blow past 100 RBI, I think, with Mookie Betts hitting in front of him. I think we could see a 50 home run season this year from Shohei Ohtani. He doesn't have to worry about pitching every 5 days. He's only got to worry about the DH. Now, there is this scandal going around revolving him that we'd be remiss to leave out. I think ultimately there won't be a whole lot that comes of that, but it could be something that kind of weighs over his head, so that may impact his game a little bit. But I think he's going to have the best offensive season of his career this year, which is saying a whole lot for a guy who's hit 40 to 46 homers, driven in around 100 RBI last few years. Do you have anything you want? I know you already talked about Shohei, but do you have anything you want to add about it, especially about the scandal and everything?
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about the scandal, but hopefully it does get resolved at some point very soon. And I mean, I hope that at least what he has said is truthful. And that he, you know, that it ends up not being, you know, being a bad thing. I hope it's not a bad thing for him and baseball.
Yeah, because if the best player in Major League Baseball is wrapped up in gambling, even though it is legal for, a lot of people don't know this, it is legal for baseball players to bet on other sports that are not baseball and softball. But it looks like it would have been done with an illegal bookmaker, which gets into some laws there in California. But I'm going to take him at his word, because if he is lying, it's going to make things 10 times worse than they already are. So I'll take him at his word. I don't know how long it'll take for this federal investigation to go on, but it'll take that finishing before Major League Baseball could potentially even do anything about this. So I hope it's not too much of a black eye for the sport this year. I have a feeling it's going to end up being much ado about nothing. But I imagine we both have the same player at number one on our list. And that is the reigning National League Most Valuable Player, Ronald Acuña Jr., the right fielder for the Atlanta Braves, who became the first player in baseball history last year to hit more than 40 homers and steal 70 or more bases. He was also hitting over 300 last year. Yeah, the guy can just do it all. He's a five-tool player, and I see no reason to think he's going to slow down anytime soon. So yeah, I've got him at the best player in baseball. MLB Network also had him at number one on their list. Eric, what do you want to say about Ronald Acuña Jr.?
You know, I remember a couple of years ago when he got injured. He tore his ACL, and that was the year the Braves won the World Series in 21.
Mm-hmm.
And we all thought, you know, it was going to be it for him, you know, because ACLs, knee injuries depends on how you injure it and stuff. I mean, those are, they can take a long time to recover. But I think I am very glad that he came back at full strength, and not only at full strength, but, you know, to have the year that he had last year was just absolutely quite remarkable, given that he had basically a new healthy knee. So that's huge. It's huge for the sport. It's huge for the Braves. I expect him to have a really good year once again. And, you know, this was a pretty good choice to be the best player in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Ohtani not even pitching this year, I don't think there's a whole lot of debate that Ronald Acuña Jr. should be the best player in baseball, at least on our list going into this season. So, Eric, I want to thank you once again for joining us to talk about our current 10 best players in MLB. I'm sure we'll be seeing you again soon for some of our other sports-related content on the Word on Pop Culture podcast. So thanks again, bud.
All right. Thanks for having me.